again, Luke chapter 6, verse 37 to 42. Notice the words, fully trained and like his teacher. There's a number of verses in the Bible that talk about apprenticeship. And of course, we know an apprentice is someone who comes alongside someone who knows what they're doing. And as this scripture says, when someone is fully trained, fully apprenticed, they'll be like their teacher. I remember some years ago being influenced by a guy called Brian Trebilco. Brian was the new manager at Forest Lakes. I was one of the campers there at Forest Lakes, at Crid's Children's Holiday Camp. And Brian had a particular way of talking, particular mannerisms, and a particular style. And he influenced me over quite a number of years to the point where sometimes when I preached, I could hear little Brianisms in my voice. You know what I'm talking about. And then some years later, I was at Bible college, and a guy called Malcolm Barrow, an older gentleman, stood up to speak. Malcolm began to preach, and he sounded just like Brian Trebilco. And then I realized, wait a minute, he wasn't copying Brian Trebilco. Brian Trebilco was copying this guy. And it wasn't bad. It was just that they'd been so influenced by him that he even came to the point where he sounded like him. He was like his teacher. And we are to be like those, like our Lord, our teacher. There's a number of verses concerning apprenticeship that we can look at. Let's have a look at them. 2 Timothy 3, 10 to 17 reads, "Now, you followed my teachings, conduct, and purpose." Listen, you followed my teachings, my conduct, purpose, my faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me indeed. All who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Interesting verse. We don't like to think that, but that's right clear in there. But the interesting thing was, Paul says, you followed me in my life. You followed me in my motives. You followed me in my words. You've been well apprenticed. I've trained you well. In John 5, 17 to 19, but he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he did not only break the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner.'" The Father is like the Son. The student is like the teacher. In Exodus 17:10 it reads, "Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill." We know what happened there. Great victory. Good disciples follow fully the teacher. In Numbers 27, 18 to 23, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him.'" There was transference from spiritual father to spiritual son, from leader to follower, from expert to apprentice. Finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, it says, "Therefore, my son, be strong, my son, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will do so as well." And learning to entrust the word And learning to entrust, teach others also, is what we're supposed to do. Pass it on. Pass it on. Being a good apprentice. Being fully trained, like our master. There's one more verse I want us to have a look at. It's a considerable verse. Next slide. And it's in Ephesians chapter 3, I believe, actually. I haven't got the reference there. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building and the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the job of leaders is to shape and mold the people of God, is to equip them for the unity. Notice the unity passage in there as well. But so that they be like Jesus. He's the example. And by the way, Paul said, be like me, even as I am like Christ. So being able to transfer, being able to clothe people ready for ministry, being able to deposit something of great worth, and being for ourselves moldable. In the early days, as well, by the way, we'll finish the passage. It says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. God doesn't want us to be like kids. He wants us to be mature. And it says, rather speaking the truth in love. And speaking the truth what? We are to grow up. Say grow up. In every way. Say in every way. Into him, say into him, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by the joint in which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that builds itself up in love. When we are working properly, when we are like Christ, the church grows, it builds itself up in judgment. No, it builds itself up in condemnation. No, it builds itself up in a critical spirit. No, it builds itself up in love. God would have us to be fully trained. So what does fully trained look like, everybody? Look up at this passage. Next slide. Fully trained means this. It means to be like our teacher. First point, in not judging. Stories told of a person that was on the train, and it was a long day. He was tired. He was weary. And there was three kids on the train running up and down, screaming and yelling. The father was just not doing anything. He was just sitting down trying, ignoring them. And these kids were being a real pain. And so this person was just so agitated. How could he let his kids run wild like that? And so he went up to the guy and he said, excuse me, what's the story? And the guy lifted his head and he says, oh, sorry about the kids. Just come from my wife's funeral and they're just playing up and I just haven't got anything to deal with it. It's amazing how perspective can change something. So often we judge people on their actions and ourselves by our intentions. There's a book I'm going to get. I came across it when I was in Westport. It's called All the Things That Jesus Didn't Say. And you can be sure he never said, judge. He never did. He said, judge not, that you be not judged. And there's a whole lot of Christians who say, well, he didn't really mean that.
but he meant it. Think of Christ. How did he relate with other people? Did he judge people? Now, he's the perfect and pure judge, and one day he will judge. Surely shall not the judge of all do well, do right, the Bible says. But you never saw him judging people. You know, he spoke truth, but it was always for the purpose of drawing people to himself. Or opening the eyes of the blind. Not judging. Someone said, those who judge will never understand, and those who understand will never judge. The church is a wonderful thing. But every now and then there's an ugly side to her. Where people haven't matured into the image of Christ and they are pointing fingers at their brother and sister. I want you to think, act, and be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? You know, we all let ourselves down, but we'll go a long way coping in life if we just pull back from judging others. What they say, how they're dressed, what they're doing. I have an opportunity to do something in the next few while with someone who wants to take their next step on in their spiritual journey. But this person has got a cluttered past. And there is still a work of sanctification going on in their life. They want to take the next step of obedience, which is baptism. But there's still lots of outward signs of a life that is not identical to the image of Christ. And not one of us fits into that. But it's so easy for us to look at someone and say, who do you think you are? Why should you be doing? Why have you allowed that person to do this? You know? And be judging other people. I remember attending a conference at a course in Hawaii, and the guy was preaching about, you know, Church of Laodicea, the people who have lost their first love. And it was a good word, and I found myself thinking, oh, preacher, bro, this is good preaching. And then quickly I heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm speaking to you. I realized, oh. Oh, so easy. To be thinking about others and judging others, and in the process, we ourselves are way out of sync. Judge not. Clear word of Jesus. It is He's the judge. Your job is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, and make disciples. That's your calling, not to judge. People may not walk the way you walk, talk the way you talk, dress the way you dress. I thought it was interesting, this walk and talk and be like Jesus. That was good. Real interesting look in America, where a whole lot of African Americans still feel that they're just judged by the color of their skin. We've got to watch this sort of stuff in our own hearts and lives. So if you find yourself critically analyzing and judging others, there's something desperately wrong with you. Again, that statement that I just gave, those who judge will never understand, and those who understand will never judge. So, being like our teacher, Jesus, in not judging. Well, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. Really, Tony? Yes. What about the next one? Not condemning. He says in the scripture that we read earlier on,
judge not, you'll be not judged. Condemn not, you'll be not condemned. What does condemn mean? It means expressing complete disapproval. Some of us just need to watch our faces. We do. Sometimes a look of disapproval goes across our face, and it communicates too much. Too much. You know, we communicate only partially by what we say. Our body language screams a million facts. And when we had at one stage visiting this church two Muslim girls who were living with us for a short time, students, and they were living in our house, and they came into church and they came to a church event and they were wearing their Muslim headpiece. And one lady, it was a lovely lady in this church, but over her face just screamed this judgmental condemnation. Like that. And I thought, you're better than that. You're better than that. You don't have to do that. These kids are, you know, they've been growing up. They need the Lord like everybody else. And God loves them. And we dare not judge them because they wear a Muslim headpiece or they don't quite fit into our shape. I believe as our church continues to grow, lots of strange people will make it into this building. And I'm asking you, please, because, you know, we're already a lot of strange people in this room. More? Please watch your face. I remember the first time we had country gospel meeting here. It was abysmal. Songs were sung in ways songs should never be sung. Non-Christians were singing these songs, and some of them were country music, and some of them was far away from country music. And apparently I was sitting, I was the one who initiated it. I was sitting in the chair watching the whole thing like this. And my daughter turned around and she said, "Dad, your face." And maybe we just need to, as husbands and wives and as friends, just say, "Hey, your face." Condemning people. Oh, the Bible says, Jesus said, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, do not condemn, that you be not condemned. Next thing was forgiving. Jesus never condemned anybody, never judged anybody, and he always forgave people. Even there on the cross, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." And forgiveness, who needs to forgive people at times? We all need to forgive people. And he says, "Forgive, that it be forgiven to you." Now listen, let's just put it straight out there. You hang around with me long enough, you're going to have to forgive me. And you don't have a choice. If you love the Lord, you don't have a choice. You must forgive. And how many times must you forgive? 70 times 7. Again? He did that again? And the need to forgive and constantly forgive. For this is the way of Christ. For he forgives perfectly. The Bible says, though the righteous man falls 7 times, constantly falling, yet will I lift him up. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, forgiveness. Jesus is telling at this critical message, key building blocks for his disciples about some fundamentals of what it means to be a follower of his. The last thing was this, giving. Now, so often in this passage, we say, you know, and it'll come back to you, pressed down, shaking together, running over, spilling into your lap. And this passage has always been referred to as giving. No, it's just telling us a rule of the kingdom. For, notice that final verse, for the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This applies to giving, it applies to forgiveness, it applies to judgment, and it applies to condemnation. To the measure you fork out any of that stuff to another, it comes back. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, and spilling into your lap. You cannot sow and not expect to reap. Life is like a rubber ball. There's a whole book in the Bible about this. It's called Zerubbabel. Life is like a rubber ball. Whatever you throw at it, it comes back. You throw judgment at people, listen, you're going to be heavily judged. Everybody's going to have comments and thoughts about you. No one likes to think that. You throw condemnation at others, it's going to come your way. You constantly forgive people, people will forgive you. And you're generous towards others, it comes back. To be like Jesus, he did all of this. Father's good pleasure to give his children the kingdom. And so, to be like Jesus, to think, act, and be like Jesus, to the measure we do, whatever we do, it comes back. So I want to ask you, next time you do something by way of judgment, condemnation, unforgiveness, or stinginess, just realize it's just going to come back to you. It's the rule of the kingdom. Come back. It comes back. And I want you to have all the good stuff coming back. I want you to be fashioned into the image and nature of Christ. Let me ask you this question. Have you got stuck in your growing? You know, a lot of people, they go for a while and then they get stuck. Christianity gets boring. Church life becomes an option. You know, the typical Christian nowadays goes to church once, maybe twice a month in New Zealand. Now, this, by most pastors, they put this down to the growing grip of secularism and materialism in the life of Christians. But the bottom line is, you might say, I've been a Christian for years, I don't need to keep on going to church, I'm all right. You need to keep on growing. You need to continue to be shaped into the image of Christ. And you are missed when you're not at church. And you are a blessing when you are at church. And when you come to church, there should be an opportunity to grow into your next position in God. Let's continue to grow on to be like him, everybody. Like him in the way he speaks and what he does, and all things, to be like Jesus. To be like him. Fully trained. There's nothing more winsome. You know those people. Who just so love the Lord, and you don't ever hear them judging. You don't ever see them condemning. You often see them on the humble side asking for forgiveness or giving forgiveness. And you see them generous in their time and in their love and their resources. And these people exude image of Christ. They're beautiful people. Man, I felt like Donald Trump then. Beautiful, really beautiful. The best they can be. Just, you know, salt of the earth, beautiful, you know. They're beautiful. I'm talking top of the beauty, you know, wonderful people, beautiful, just beautiful. And I want people come along to this church and say, wow, wow, wow. Those people,
they hang out with Jesus. Now, what happens if you're being judged? What does the Bible say we should do for those who judge us? Pardon? Pray for those, yeah? Give them a hug? Love them? Pardon? Turn the other cheek? Yeah, that's right. And that's annoying because they go and do it. They'll actually, you give them, turn the other cheek, and they'll slap you on it as well. But anyway, keep your good spirit. Sorry? You got to love them. Got to love them. We're not given any option on that one. And what about condemning? You know, we're just going to have it. And you know, I got people saying things about me and condemning me in all sorts of ways. Simply because I have a breath. Every one of you have got people who've done that to you because you breathe. But our job, our calling is clear to be Christ-like and forgiving. Again, you might get just tired of forgiving. There's great, think of all what you've been forgiven from. And then giving. You know, I, while I was away ministering to churches all around the South Island, bottom South Island this week, I was thinking of you often. I'm so grateful for you. You're a beautiful church. You're beautiful people, every one of you. Just beautiful, just wonderful, beautiful people. You're beautiful. And that's right. And but let's just all carry on, eh? Let's just all carry on. Continue to be shaped in the image of Christ. That he get all the glory. Let's be fully trained. And by the way, let's be the sort of people that when others follow us, they look like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and your ministry this morning. Oh, Lord, we give you praise. Oh, forgive us, Lord, for the times when we've not looked like you, when we've not sounded like you, when we've not loved like you. And Father, I want to thank you for these precious people. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having them part of this church. Lord, I pray that you would continue to shape us and mold us to be like Jesus, that many others would find you. I pray that people would, when they come into this church, would find a non-judging, non-condemning, a forgiving, and a giving church. In Jesus' name. I pray that for our homes. Pray that for our marriages. Pray that for our families. In Jesus' name. Amen.